Moncrief on News Talk.
A recent condolence message on RIP.ie, excuse me, was a little bit out of the ordinary. A fella called Martin expressed sympathy to Joan for her mother's death. He then went on to remind Joan that they had actually went out together in the late 80s or early 90s, that back then they were too young to settle down, but he would love to meet up again. And he included his phone number. The message has since been taken down, but as you can imagine, has received a lot of attention on social media. So with so much disenchantment about apps, are people turning up at funerals not to sympathise, but to cast a glad eye around the room? It happens. It happened to Deirdre Reynolds. Afternoon, Deirdre.
Good afternoon.
So what was your experience of this? You did get a date.
I did get a date. Now, it wasn't a case of wedding crashers that I was turning up at funerals now attempting to score or anything like that. But in the sort of emotionally available atmosphere of funerals, when you have a lot of mourners mingling afterwards, there may have been numbers exchanged. And I think that Martin is a bit of a legend, to be honest, and I think he might be onto something. Now, I don't know if Joan feels this way, of course, in the thick of one's grief. And as I wrote today in my column in The Independent, you know, I've been there a few years ago myself and my own mother died. I'm not sure how I would have felt if somebody slid into my mass cards or condolences.
No, I'd say probably Martin didn't succeed and probably got, you know, I imagine got quite a negative reaction to that. But but you were asked out at a funeral, like, were you close to the deceased, if I may ask? And was the person who asked you out close to the deceased?
Do you know what? It was a case of we were actually matchmade. I don't want to identify the poor sod. But it was actually...
It wasn't Martin, was it?
Well, it could have been. Martin could have form, for all you know. it was actually a friend's mum that had passed away. So there were a lot of kind of men that were in our age group, shall we say, there. So... date came out of it. But now, as I say, the romance is now deader than the poor lady that was being buried on the day. But nonetheless, it did get me thinking because, you know, you were talking about weddings earlier, and weddings are seen as one of the best places to meet people. But to be honest, like, funerals, I think, can be just as good because, for the most part, at least, there's less alcohol consumed at funerals. And generally, people at base, you would imagine people that are going along to funerals, well, first of all, you've usually got one mutual friend, even if they are RIP at that stage. But then the atmosphere is just sort of sincere, maybe, in a way that it isn't at other events. You touched upon the kind of disenchantment with dating apps. And even though this was a message that went up on a website, I think it really tapped into something for people, that people are just really craving that connection, that in-person connection. And we see that now with dating. We see a move back towards speed dating, you know, in real life, or IRL, as they like to call it, dating. So we've got hiking groups. I've in the line of duty and work, you know, as an unfortunate features writer, I've been dispatched to many of these wine dating. I've even gone on a dating cycling event at one point, which didn't really work out in my favour either, because I'm not a very good cyclist, so I just ended up at the back of the pack. But there's a lot of these events that are now kind of moving away from apps, and Tinder, which would be obviously regarded as kind of gold standard of dating apps, you know, they've seen people, their numbers kind of hemorrhaging, and there's still 75 million monthly active users, but they're still losing users at the rate of knots.
Because I assume the difference between apps and all the other things you described there, with that you're seeing the person in real life, you know, how they talk, you know, how they hold themselves, and that tells you a hell of a lot more about them than what they think about themselves.
Yeah, and I think particularly at funerals, you know, around funerals, there's a lot of stock-taking for people that are both attending as mourners and obviously maybe family, the bereaved or whatever. They kind of start thinking about their own life and what they might want in their own life, and maybe that might be a relationship. And we see that obviously more traditionally, as I said, at weddings. You know, you've got things like singles tables at weddings. You've got the bouquet toss. Unfortunately, at the last wedding I was at, I did actually catch the bouquet, but it was essentially me and a five-year-old girl on the dance floor, so I didn't have too much competition either. So I think it's just a funeral. It sounds a bit out there, I suppose, but it's a no-pressure kind of environment as well, because unlike weddings, where there's this sense that, God, there's a load of singles at weddings and you have to meet somebody, and if you can't, you know, it's like shooting fish in a barrel almost. At a funeral, you know, you can mingle with people in a way where, you know, romance isn't really on the table, but you can kind of get to know people. I mean, I had a friend text me this morning going, God, I'm now starting to wonder why I've never scored at a funeral. No. But I think, I suppose, people aren't just thinking in that way, but that's probably the best way to meet somebody, isn't
yeah, because they are themselves rather than they're putting on a front kind of thing.
And what's really funny as well that I noticed, because, you know, you talk about app fatigue, a lot of the language that we use around the bad behaviours, the things that are turning people off apps, are kind of language that can nearly be used around death and grief as well. Like, you know, you've got ghosting and marleying and haunting and zombieing and all these words that you nearly more associate with a funeral than dating. And then, you know, you can also, dating can involve a lot of grief as well. If you are in fact ghosted, or if you come to the end of a relationship, there can be quite a lot of similarities there, I think.
Yeah. Were you at a wedding once where they made all the single people stand up?
I actually was. I don't know why I write these things about myself. They're very incriminating.
That's mad.
To be honest, I thought it was brilliant. And a lot of people were saying, oh God, no, that's my worst nightmare. Obviously, I was just in a good headspace at the time around my singledom. But yes, before the speeches, it was a cousin's wedding in Sligo. And before the speeches, they said, you know, they were speaking about love and great that these two people met each other and all the rest of it. And, you know, if there are any single men or women in the room, would you like to just basically stand up and reveal yourself? I'm not sure how many matches were made that night. None for me anyway, unfortunately, but I had a better look at the funeral.
No, but I would just imagine if you're asked to stand up and then everyone's looking at you, and then, you know, everyone's maybe keeping an eye on you to see how you do through the course of the night. And if you're, you know, weeping by the bar, you know, 3 hours later, then they go, oh God, that's a sad one.
Well, that's exactly what I said, why funerals are no pressure. So if you're weeping by the egg sandwiches, people will think you're just sad over the person that died.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our listeners says funerals in the West are as big, if not bigger, piss-ups and a great place to pull. So obviously people are going that with the express intention, or maybe not the express intention, but thinking, you know, there's more of a possibility here, really. To get people
and when you
thinking,
get to that age when you're attending more funerals than weddings, sure, what are you going to do?
Well, that's true. Well, you know, update your health insurance, I would have thought, is probably one thing. Deirdre, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was the journalist Deirdre Reynolds there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.